Welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers, where we discuss the inaugural season of the Premier League, the pre-Paul Rideout era.
Hello everybody and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers, and yeah, we're going back in time, quite a way. I would argue out of our comfort zone, Josh.
I agree.
So, why?
Because it's good to learn, good to put yourself out of your comfort zone every now and then. Thinking of episodes, the one that springs to mind is women's football, where we talked through that, and that was when we were doing very much the kind of clicking through process, and we didn't really know where we were going because we didn't have that knowledge. Here we will have bits and pieces, but it's good to educate yourself. The first season of the Premier League, when it broke away from the Football League, so they all resigned and they reinstated in a kind of new company. The Premier League Division 2, 3, 4 became 1, 2, 3. And we had 22 teams in that league at the time.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? Because there's a lot of hoo-ha, riff-raff.
Riff-raff.
Riff-raff is the wrong term. News around the Super League, which obviously is a breakaway Champions League, not a breakaway domestic league. But I guess we'll read about it, but was the Premier League welcome with open arms? I can't imagine it was.
No, I can't imagine it was. It was a time before the 24-hour news cycle of social media, where it was people just disgusted in pubs, the chatter on the stands.
Teletext.
Teletext was just really, really big text going, Premier League, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing I really know about the breakaway is that it was all funded by Sky, and it was Sky who set up and said, we're going to do lots of things about football, and we're going to do this Premier League, basically, is how I know it. I don't know too much other than that. Man United won it. I had it on VHS of the first ever Premier League season because Man United won it, yeah.
Did you watch that VHS, or was that just there just for, break in case of emergencies?
I watched that so many times because it was all around Man United winning the league.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was when I was like ill off school, it was the video that went in the player, and I sat there the blanket and in the lounge.
Oh. Do you know what? I had a video I watched in similar circumstances, but it was kind of like, it was an American video of things that had gone wrong in sport, but it was very much very so American. It was like this kind of monster truck crash, or I don't quite know where we got it from, but it was, and that's probably what started my early love of all things kind of hilarious, like accidents and you've been framed and things like that. That's probably where it stems from, actually, thinking back.
Yeah, but, well, fair enough. But anyway, the 92-93 season, Josh, what? Talk to you.
So let's have a look at the clubs. Actually, let's go one step further and go the year before. Almost a forgotten season, because you see a lot of complaints when someone goes, the Premier League record going, oh, football started before 1992, actually. Because we know, but there's part of me which accepts that and also doesn't, because football has changed so much in the Premier League era. There was a goal on Twitter the other day about Chris Marsden. Do you remember Chris Marsden? His goal, I think it was against Ipswich, where he came in, his left-footed Southampton midfielder, bald. Bald. And he cut in from the left. And it is just horrific how much space he's got. Like, if you were to cut past the winger, say the right winger in Premier League football now, you wouldn't have 10, 15 metres to run into and then engage in, you'd be up against the centre-backs. There'd be so many people covering. It would just be mopped up. But so pre-Premier League obviously goes a fair way back. It's still technically very good, but very different systems, physicality. But let's go to 1991, First Division.
Leeds won that title.
Leeds won that title, correct.
That's all I know. That's all I know about 91.
Yeah, United came second. Sheffield Wednesday came third. Liverpool qualified for the Cup Winners' Cup and relegated in that year Luton, Notts County, West Ham.
Okay.
Tottenham finishing 15th, so losing 20 games. They drew the fewest amount of games. They drew 7 games and lost 20. God, we're bad. We'll then look at top scorers. So in that final season before Premier League football, we have Ian Wright is joined, mid-season joined Arsenal from Crystal Palace, scores 29 goals. Gary Lineker is top scorer for Tottenham, 28 goals, leaves at the end of that season. So goes, you know what? Premier League football's not for me. Age 32, probably by then. It leaves to go to Japan, Nagoya Grampus 8.
Oh, okay. Wow, imagine if he had stayed and been there for the Premier League era.
Yeah, he could have had a few seasons.
Yeah.
Judging by his career, obviously with more than one variable, but judged by his goal-scoring record in Japan, he realises on the decline. Yeah, so we also have John Fashion at Wimbledon, David Hurst for Wednesday, Brian McClair, Mark Bright. Now we probably know him as Pundit. Crystal Palace, 17 goals for him. Lee Chapman. Do you know Lee Chapman?
No.
Leeds United. Let's have a little look at Lee Chapman. Striker, born in Lincoln. Yeah, he went around. Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds. Ended up at Strom Godset IF.
Nope.
So he during Brisbane, Norway, scoring one goal. Okay. Yeah, and one England B cap. Lovely. Of course you do. Peter Beardsley, Robbie Irwin. We've got a list of hat-tricks here. We've got a couple of four-goal hauls with Gary Lineker scoring four, Ian Wright scoring four. A couple of... Yeah, we've got Lee Chapman scoring two hat-tricks and Graham Sharp scoring four for Oldham. My goodness. Quite looking... It seems to take a turn. Now you go to April. April, we've got two hat-tricks on the same day. Paul Merson and Graham Sharp on the 11th of April.
Nice. Hat-trick day.
Hat-trick day. But so, yeah, so we have Leeds winning. So, and Man United second. Okay, Arsenal... It's funny, it's actually... The top six is made up of everybody. So you've got Leeds, Man City, Arsenal, Man United. Is Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds in there, apart from Chelsea and Tottenham, who finished 14th, 15th.
Interesting, that.
Similar to where Chelsea are going to finish this season. So.
Ooh. Interesting. Eric Cantona joined Leeds in 91 to then obviously go and join Man United in 92. Or
no, he had it'd be a season with Leeds in the Premier League.
Yeah, that was it. Ryan Giggs came through and established himself as a regular at Man United in 91 as well. So, yeah, interesting. Newly promoted Sheffield Wednesday had won the Football League Cup to end their 56-year wait for a major trophy, but were then left without a manager when Roy Atkinson accepted the offer to take over at Aston Villa, who, in the first season of the Premier League, were very good, if I remember rightly, with Daly and Atkinson up front in 92-93.
Yeah, they finished runners-up.
Yeah. It's up here somewhere, Joss. That videotape is stored up here.
What can you tell me about David Hurst?
Striker for Sheffield Wednesday. A handful of England caps is what I'd guess. Lots of clubs, actually. Didn't he, David Hurst?
Not lots of clubs. What would you define handful of England caps? What fits in a hand for caps?
Seven.
Three England caps, one goal.
Oh.
Three clubs. Barnsley for a season. Southampton for three seasons at the end of his career. 30 games, nine goals, but... Sheffield Wednesday through and through, 294 appearances, 106 goals. Wasn't there a rumour of him? I think there was a rumour of him going to kind of Man United at the time. Yeah, Man United boss Alex Ferguson tried six times to tempt Al's boss Trevor Francis to sell Hurst without success.
Is that why we ended up getting Cantona?
Yeah, Ferguson offered the Owls $3 million for Hurst, but the offer was rejected and United signed Eric Cantona instead.
Awesome.
Okay, so we go on to 92-93 Premier League. So the managers are English, Irish, Scottish and Welsh. There's no one of any other nationality.
Yeah.
The captains are English, Irish, Scottish, so no Welsh captains. Kit manufacturers, who we've got in a really defunct, what is Brooks Running from QPR? Not even a clickable link.
And that QPR kit, made by Brooks Running, sponsored by Classic FM.
Oh.
What a combination.
You can see the different era there in terms of shirt sponsor. So we got... Carlsberg, we've got McEwen's Lager. Wimbledon had no sponsor. Sharp for United, obviously. Who were Tottenham recommend? Holston, obviously. Holston Umbro, of course it was.
Crystal Palace, sponsored by Tulip Computers.
Feels like it's a shop on the high street near Crystal Palace's ground.
And this is what it just made me think of that, about when it was, you would see old footage of it and they didn't have electronic hoardings. It was wooden and plastic hoardings, which were like Southampton's local mechanic. Or so it would be like, come down to Hendo's, Southampton's local mechanic. And it'd be like, how have you afforded to that? But anyway, yeah.
I imagine the price point for marketing in those days was slightly different to what it is now.
Yeah. Right. I've been drawn in by, I think I recognise most of those manager names that are on this page.
Okay.
Other than two, I would say. John Lyle. Ipswich, don't know who that is, but the one that drew my attention was Ian Branfoot at Southampton. Absolutely no idea who Ian Branfoot is.
I love the John Lyle. You look at Ian Branfoot.
Ian Branfoot is a tiny page. Footballer, Sheffield Wednesday, Doncaster Rovers, Lincoln City. managerial career: Reading for 5 years, Southampton for 3 years, Fulham for 2 years, and that was it. He was an academy director at Sunderland after he quit being a manager, and then went to Leeds as a scout and also coached at Winchester College. So fair enough, but there's not much about his page, so yeah, nothing.
And John Lyle had a very short footballing career, cut short by injury, won England youth cap, and then managed West Ham for 15 years, 74 to 89, and then 4 years at Ipswich. Won the FA Cup as a manager in 75 and 80 with West Ham. He was runner-up in a few competitions, and yeah, he's been inducted to the Ipswich Town Hall of Fame. And see also, list of longest managerial reigns in association football. He's on that list, he must be.
There you go. Tottenham had a managerial change that year, Josh. Peter Shreeves sacked and replaced by the dynamic duo of Ray Clements and Doug Livermore. So he was sacked right at the end of 92, and then pre-season was taken on by Doug Livermore and Ray Clements. We had Don Howe getting sacked, or end of caretaker spell for Coventry, replaced by Bobby Gould, and David Williams of Norwich City replaced by Mike Walker, who took over for the start of the season.
So if we go from differences to this season, so Man United still in it, Villa in it, Norwich flip-flap between Championship and Premier League, Blackburn Championship, QPR Championship, Liverpool in there, Sheffield Wednesday on the up a little bit, I think. Tottenham, obviously not in the Premier League. Tottenham, Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea, Wimbledon, now defunct, Everton, Sheffield United Championship, Coventry, Ipswich out of the Premier League, Leeds back in there, Southampton in there, Oldham not, and you've got Palace and Forest, who got relegated that season, are, and Middlesbrough again in the Championship. So reasonably, not consistent because there's lots of history between those clubs now, but probably kind of six, seven sides that aren't in there now.
Yeah, it's something that surprised. I always thought Swindon were in the original Premier League team, but they must have got promoted. I know Glenn Hoddle was player manager when they were in the Premier League their first season, but I thought they were in it from the beginning, but obviously not. Yeah, obviously not.
So then page next goes down to top goal scorers. So we have Teddy Sheringham, top goal scorer, scored a goal for Nottingham Forest. Spurs sign him, scores 22 goals. That's a drop. Like, there was 29 goals was Ian Wright the year before.
Yeah, true.
Down to 22. Les Ferdinand with 20 goals. Dean Holdsworth. Oh, my goodness. You remember him? I remember him more from his Bolton days.
Yeah, I remember him at Wimbledon and Bolton. I swear he played somewhere else as well.
Oh, he's played somewhere else, all right. So we start at Watford. Four loans to Carlisle, Port Vale, Swansea and Brentford. Signed by Brentford for a good... This is again for 100-plus appearances at Brentford, Wimbledon and then Bolton. And then at Bolton... And leaves Bolton age, 35? Then keeps going. We've got Coventry. Got Rushden and Diamonds. Wimbledon again. Havant-Waterlooville. Derby County. Weymouth. Heybridge Saints. Havant-Waterlooville again. Cambridge United. Newport County. Redbridge. I haven't gone down to his international appearances yet. He's English. What would you reckon?
Handful. Seven.
England B. One cap, one goal.
Oh.
Ooh. As of last year, he was still managing. So Redbridge, Newport, Aldershot Town, Chelmsford City, Brentwood Town, Stratford Town he was managing.
Yeah, goal scorers followed again by hat-tricks. Eric Cantona, Josh, up there in a 5-0 win for Leeds against Spurs.
That's almost like opening day, kind of. That's probably very early on, isn't it? 25th of August.
Yeah, 25th of August. Next one was the 8th of November. Mark Robbins, who Man United sold to Norwich and had a very good season with Norwich, remember that. Other names in here: John Hendry, Andy Sinton, Brian Dean, goal scorer, the first ever Premier League goal scorer, Brian Dean for Sheffield United against Man United on the opening day of the season. Chris Bart Williams, oh my god, that's a name I've not thought of in years. Wow, he is not. He had a career, actually.
Of course, he had a career.
So, yeah, obviously, he had a career. Leighton Orient, Sheffield Wednesday in the Premier League, Forest in the Premier League, Charlton in the Premier League, Ipswich in the Premier League, and then went to Applewell and ended with 8 games in his career at... We're going to play a game here, Josh, because you've got a one. Try and guess where this is. I've not clicked on it yet. Marsa Kolokex, and that is spelt MarsxLokk.
Okay, we're going X. We're going Europe, Eastern Europe, Bulgaria.
No, you're well off. Malta.
Oh, man, that's not well off. That's right content. Yeah. Okay, so do we have Maltese League? They actually got quite a big page, haven't they?
They have, yeah.
Checking if they've got any managerial history. Brian Talbot. English.
I don't recognise that name.
God, it's so much England B we're going through here. He used to manage Rutland and Diamonds. Chris Bart Williams as an England B cap. What about John Hendry? Do you remember John Hendry?
He's a snooker player. That's how I remember John Hendry. Lee Hendry is a footballer I recognise, and John Hendry is a snooker.
And Colin Hendry,
Colin, but that was spelt differently. Colin Hendry was a Y, right, at the end.
Yeah, correct. He was at Middlesbrough, and his career started at Coventry City, but he moved to Bradford, where he played 173 consecutive league games, winning one promotion and narrowly missing out on another. Following spells of Newcastle and Leeds, he moved to Middlesbrough and scored the final goal at the Ayrton Park among his 44 goals for Borough. When he was replaced by a Brazilian Juninho, he moved to Barnsley, where he finished his career and served as manager. His uncle is another Scottish former pro footballer, Paul Hendry. Paul has two sons, John's cousins, in the game, Lee Hendry and Stuart Hendry. So, yes, he's related to Lee Hendry. Check this out, right? I know we looked at hat-tricks in the season before.
Yeah.
11th of April, had a couple of hat-tricks on the same day. Check out this run. Gordon Strachan and Les Ferdinand score a hat-trick on the 10th of April. Each two hat-tricks on the and 2 days later, well, one Chris Bart Williams scores a hat-trick on the 12th of April. Les Ferdinand scores another hat-trick, two hat-tricks in 3 days on the 12th of April, and that's there's still time for two more hat-tricks in April. Hey, April is hat-trick time.
It is. I feel like you're going to be putting a bet on this April for a hat-trick to be scored.
That is exactly what I was thinking, because I know it's not the way the world works, but I can't help but be drawn to bets like that. I'm like, well, it's happened. Yeah.
It happened in 92. It'll happen again.
Yeah. 92, 93. That's 30 years ago. It's going to happen again. Yeah. Rod Wallace. Now, that was a good Leeds player, actually.
Ex-Man United, Rod Wallace.
No.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, no. Who am I thinking of?
Big question.
It's a question we ask all the time on this podcast. Who am I thinking of? Who did we sell?
Ross Wallace? Is there Ross Wallace?
Ross Wallace? Is there a Ross Wallace? I have to Google this.
Ross Wallace? Nope, he didn't play for you either, but he's a player.
Danny Wallace. Danny Wallace. Man United. Yeah.
What a season from Eric Cantona, by the way. Eric Cantona scores 15 goals and gets 16 assists.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He was a pretty good footballer, Josh.
I reckon he might have had a career, that guy. What do you reckon? What happened to him after this? Did he go into anything?
I think he did a little bit, yeah. Won a few things, Eric Cantona.
Did he win anything in Europe, Eric Cantona?
Oh.
Honours, Eric Cantona.
No, I'm going to say no.
So, won a cup with Auxerre, won the league with Marseille in 88 and 90, won a cup with Montpellier, won the Premier League, obviously, with you 4 times, FA Cup, a couple times, Charity Shield. He's won the Euro Beach Soccer League in 2004.
Nice.
And the FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup in 2005.
The big one.
But no, so failure. Absolute failure for a player.
Oh, I've noticed in that assist, in the assisters there, the top assisters, with joint seventh with 9 assists in the season is a name I always thought was a boy band member. Jason Dozell. Always thought he was part of a boy band, not playing for Ipswich.
He went on to play for Tottenham. That's it. Like, when current fans think that this Tottenham side is bad, you just need to go back to when I started supporting them. It was horrific. Truly horrific. And the era of David Howes, Jason Dozell, Dean Austin. It was just... So Ipswich, 340 appearances, 89 appearances for Spurs, a loan to Ipswich at the end there, Northampton, Colchester, Canvey Island. That's a side I've not heard in a while. Grays, no England B caps, unfortunately. It's a bit of a shame. Oh, yeah. So in 88-89, Zell finished the club's joint top scorer.
Right, Josh, I'm going to bring this back. 92-93 season is what we're focusing on, right?
Yep.
Who... Oh, hang on. Oh, I've forgotten it. Oh, my God. I've gone to the wrong page. I've gone to 92-93 Football League First Division, which is incredible because Newcastle win it.
And then Newcastle would... So let's... Wait, unless you would go... I'm going to have a quick sneak peek at 93-94 while we're here.
Yeah.
Just to see what kind of goes down. This is, again, pre... 96-97 is where my kind of knowledge comes in. So this is where it becomes known as the Carling Premiership, because they couldn't agree a sponsor in the first season, so they become the FA Carling Premiership. United won the league again. Blackburn Rovers was second. Swindon finished bottom. Hold on. Swindon must have got promoted and finished bottom of the league and relegated along with Sheffield and Oldham. United broke the record. I mean, it's not hard to break records. It's the second season. Yeah, so Carling Breweries, Roy Keane becomes the most expensive footballer signed by an English side for a whopping $3.75 million, and many players transferred between Premier League clubs for fees exceeding $1 million. David White, heard of him?
Nope.
David Rocastle.
I recognise the name Rocastle.
Roy Weggle?
Nope, I'll click on him.
Tim Flowers at $2.5 million. Flowers became the most expensive goalkeeper in English football. So just when people think that Blackburn won the league without spending massive amounts of money, no, they're spending lots at that time.
They spent loads, yeah. They were the first ever club that had like a big, what would be a millionaire, come in and own the club and just spunk loads of money to try and win the Premier League. So Roy Vigorel, however you want to say it, USA international.
Really? I was going to go Dutch. All my money was on Dutch there.
What's odd is that he's a USA international that has a Nicaragua stamp as his profile
that
picture.
May go down as my favourite photo of a footballer on their Wikipedia page.
I'm glad we found him.
A stamp. He's got a profile shot of him with a very good head of hair.
Right, I mean, Tampa Bay Rowdies, Arcadia Shepherds, Tacoma Stars, indoor.
We know them.
Chelsea. He went from indoor football to Chelsea.
Yeah, but that's years before. This is 86, 88.
Yeah, yeah. Loan to Swindon Town, Luton Town, QPR, Blackburn Rovers, Coventry City, Colorado Rapids, DC United, Tampa Bay Mutiny. 96, he was Colorado Rapids interim manager whilst playing for them. Yeah.
Yeah, he had an unsuccessful trial at Man United, so chose to play college football. Rodney Marsh worked his contacts in England to get him a tryout. Remember Rodney Marsh from the early Gillette Soccer Saturday days?
I do. Yeah, I do. He was a key player in the United States national team in the 94 FIFA World Cup. By the time 98 came around, he'd repeated his injuries and they had absolutely hobbled Vegerlil. He enjoyed a brief resurgence leading up to the 98 FIFA World Cup, but never became the key player he had been in 94.
So it's actually, he was signed by Blackburn the year before and got them promoted. And then when Alan Shearer joined, he then paired up front with Mike Newell. Then he joined Coventry for the £1 million. But he's actually signed for Blackburn for £1.1 million. Oh, since his retirement, he tried to make it as a professional golfer.
Haven't we all? So the 93-94 season is Andy Cole bursting on the scene for Newcastle, who finished third after getting promoted from... So they came up, Newcastle came up from League One.
From Division One, please.
So Division One, correct, thank you for correcting me, and immediately got into Europe. That's bonkers, that, with Andy Cole leading the way with 34 goals. Blimey, out. Hat-tricks again, Josh, here you go. 9th of April, Matt Le Tissier, hat-trick.
My birthday. So no other April hat-tricks?
Yeah, 26th of April, Dean Holdsworth for Wimbledon against Oldham in a 3-0 win, he scored all of them.
Oh, it was October where you had your double, 30th of October. And Peter Beardsley and Robbie Fowler. So yeah, Robbie Fowler's come, effing a Koku, getting his hat-trick for Norwich.
We haven't done this in a while, Josh. Mm-hmm. There's an edit that needs to be happening on this page.
30th of October, 20th and 21st of October, wrong order?
Yeah, wrong order. Yeah, we need to correct that. So Andy Cole got the most assists in the league with 13 and top goal scorer with 34. He had 47 goal contributions.
Yeah. Again, he might go on to big things. He might have done had a career. Who would you rate higher? Man United lens on, Andy Cole or Eric Cantona?
I think Eric Cantona changed everything about Man United to allow us to go and sign people like Andy Cole. So I'd probably say Cantona.
Do you reckon Andy Cole was a bit annoyed to not make the PFA Team of the Year that year?
What? Where's the PFA Team of the Year? Oh, yeah.
Kept out by Eric Cantona. And a very unusual move. That is in an era of 4-4-2, they've gone for a 4-3-3 and kept him out. But Shearer left wing, as you do.
Yeah, a midfield three of that famous midfield three of Paul Ince on the right, David Batty in the middle, and Gary McAllister on the left wing.
Yeah, I would be a little bit aggrieved if I was Andy Cole not getting there.
Yeah, that's horrendous that he didn't get picked in that. Bloody hell.
Who else to have in there? Tim Flowers, Tony Adams, Gary Kelly gets himself in there.
Yeah, a decent defender, Gary Kelly.
Yeah, it was all right. The uncle of Ian Hart.
Yes.
When uncles and nephews are similar ages, it always kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the Republic of Ireland fullback pairing of Gary Kelly and Dennis Irwin, don't we?
Yeah. Joe Kinnear was the winner of the Most Manager of the Month awards, winning three throughout the season for Wimbledon.
Oh, so where do Wimbledon finish in this year? Wimbledon finished sixth. Nice. Tottenham, 15th again. Chelsea, 14th. Is that exactly the same?
I think it could be. And then, so yeah, getting relegated that year. Swindon, as you said, Oldham and Sheffield United go down, and Ipswich survive by a point. Ipswich and Southampton survive by a point, actually. On that. Oh, I bet that was a fun...
Yeah, I'm trying to work out how we can find out what the last game of the season was. So if we...
It's just below results, Josh. There's a thing if you just scroll.
No, but it doesn't give you the time, does it? It gives you all of the results.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, don't know when they were played.
Well, I guess we might find this out in a minute. But when did it go from 22 to 20?
I think the year after, I think. Quite right. I'm a big fan of standardisation, and I think all... If you want to be considered top league, you've got to have 20 sides in it.
So the Bundesliga is not a top league?
No, absolute rubbish. It just gives them an advantage in Europe.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, you've got to play two fewer games. Scrap the league. You could have a cup for every club in the FA Cup. Every club. No league cup. 20 teams in your top league. Bosh. None of this weird splitting. I know there's a competitive element here, which I'm completely glossing over. But there might not be the amount of competitive sides in it. But, oh, God, it's just so...
So you're not a fan of Scotland, where it's like 10 teams and then split into two sets of five or whatever?
Shocking. So, yeah, on the last day, Sheffield United lost 3-2 to Chelsea.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. Chelsea scored in the 90th minute.
That is killer, because Sheffield United would have stayed up on goal difference.
Yeah. So Sheffield United, in the 59th minute, took the lead to go 2-1. And in the 76th and 90th minute, Mark Stein...
Oh, I remember that name.
...scored two goals. A South African striker, Earl Mark Sean Stein, who had a really inauspicious career all through England.
Here you go, Josh. Here you go. Right. Managers, 93-94. Again, all British, English, Welsh, things like that. First non-English or British, Welsh, Irish, Northern Irish manager in the Premier League appointed by Spurs.
Yeah, Ozzy Ardiles,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it goes to show you shouldn't make emotional appointments, because he was awful. He was so gung-ho. He played the five up front, basically, with us. It was just... So that's my concern about Spurs going back to Pochettino. It might be emotional.
Yeah.
We've had Hoddle and Ardiles who have not really worked out, and then... Going back to Poch might not be. It's weird that the Spurs have that link with Argentina now, from Ardiles and Riquelme being the first two signed, and we just now have that kind of somewhat Argentinian link.
Where did Swindon finish this year? A bottom. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Straight up, straight down.
Yeah. Chelsea appointed Glenn Hoddle as manager after he relegated Swindon.
So, yeah, Chelsea, they're 14th. They actually get to the Cup Winners' Cup that year. Yeah, you don't normally appoint a relegated manager, I suppose, is your point.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, yeah.
Scott Sellers, with 10 assists for Newcastle United, is a name I've never heard of.
I thought he was a goalkeeper.
What's his name? Wimbledon.
Yeah, Wimbledon had a Sellers, didn't they, in goal?
Yeah, it was...
Danish.
Yeah, some link with Spurs as well. Hans Sellers? Oh, God.
Hans Sellers, yeah.
Not quite. I don't think that's quite right. Hans Sagers,
yeah, Hans Sagers. I mean, I'm here, so I'll have a quick look at what he's doing in his life. 61. Oh, he had a coaching career. He was goalkeeper coach at Tottenham until 2007, when he was asked to stand down with immediate effect following the sacking of Martin Jol.
Get out.
So, yeah, it was like, he's gone. Take your mate with you.
Martin Jol got sacked at half-time during a Europa League and Europa Cup match against Getafe, so maybe he was... Also asked to leave exactly the same point. Get out off the bench now.
Sagers returned to his hometown club, PSV Eindhoven, as a goalkeeping coach in July 2008 until June 2011, where he linked up again with now Fulham manager Martin Jol.
Can you click on Martin Jol, please? What's Martin Jol up to these days?
I can click on Martin Jol. Of course I can. Martin Jol is not doing much with his life at the age of 67.
No, so he's not beyond the kind of age... threshold that you normally see in management.
Where do you think he went after Spurs? Do you remember much of his...
I do have a little bit of memory. Didn't he go to Hamburg?
He went to Hamburg from Spurs, yeah. Spurs to Hamburg. Then
he played for West Brom. I'm not sure if he managed them. He managed Fulham.
There's one big bit, I would argue, in this era, his biggest club. like bigger than Spurs when they're in, would they be bigger than Spurs in 2007? Probably
was
not,
in,
actually.
Is it in Holland?
Yeah, he had 1 year. Yeah.
1 year at Ajax.
Yeah. And then went to Fulham, left Fulham, had 3 years out of the game, and then went to Al Halil. The one in Egypt, not Al Halil that's in Qatar. It's Al Ahali, I think is how you pronounce it, yeah, in Egypt, who have such a long page. I'm going to come straight back off that because I haven't got time to read it. But yeah, what's it, has he got anything in his... Oh, managerial stats, Josh. You're like this for Martin Yeo.
Yeah, go for it.
What do you win percentage at Spurs? What do you reckon?
48.72.
I mean, you're not far off. 45.27. So you're 3% out. Not bad. Hamburg, 60.3.
Ooh.
Ajax, 64.9.
Oh, my goodness. Get back. Yoel in.
Yoel in. Well, maybe not. Fulham, 33.6. The team in Egypt, 64.5. Yeah, his best win rate was at Ajax, 64.9. Four, and Hamburg was 60, so he actually left Spurs and just immediately got better.
He stepped down to a lower level.
Yeah, true.
92-93 Premier League. Don't go on the page, I'm going to quiz you.
Okay.
I want you to tell me some stadium names from the sides no longer in it.
Oh my word. So
I'm going to go
Hillsborough.
Yes, this isn't, you don't get to pick which one you're naming. Yeah.
Oh.
Hillsborough, yeah. Big stadium, almost 40,000. Blackburn Rovers.
Ewood Park.
Yes. Coventry City.
Oh, I was going to say the Rio Carina, but that's their recent one. Where did Coventry... Highfield Road.
Yes. We have Ipswich Town.
Oh, Ipswich Town. Where did they play? Portman Road.
Yes, Natalie's house.
What? Oh, Natalie Portman. Yeah, okay.
Middlesbrough. We've already mentioned it. We've already mentioned this.
Oh, have we?
Yes, because a player I've since forgotten.
Replaced Janinho. No, got yes. replaced by Janinho.
Yes.
I was going to say it's Teesside, but that's the area. That's not the name of the ground.
John Hendry, we're talking about.
The famous snooker player.
Yes.
What was it called?
Stephen Hendry, that is.
Stephen Hendry is the snooker player. Yeah, that's his name.
Oh, Stephen man, Hendry. So many people have been shouting at this before. I've called you out on that for the last, like, 15 minutes going, Stephen Hendry, you fucking idiot.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, what was Middlesbrough ground called?
Ayrton Park.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have got that. I was thinking of okay. where they moved from.
Norwich City, still there.
Carrow Road.
Yes. Oldham Athletic. If you get this is very good.
No, I'm not going to get... something Road. Let's go with Mansell Road.
Nigel Mansell. You've got F1 on the brain.
Yeah.
It's Boundary Park.
Oh, Boundary Park.
That's
yeah,
still
okay.
in existence. Let's have a little click through there. We have QPR.
Loftus Road.
Yes, Ruben's Place. And Wimbledon.
Oh, where did... Plough Lane.
Shared the ground with Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, Sowers Park. Yeah, yeah. So who plays at Plough Lane? Because that is a stadium.
So Boundary Park is a football stadium in Oldham, and do they still play there? Current has an all-seated capacity of 13,500.
I think I'm due a bit of credit here, Josh. Plough Lane, also known as the Cherry Red Record Stadium, current occupants, AFC Wimbledon. So it was up there with Wimbledon. That's where the current Wimbledon team play. So, and I like the quiz, Josh. Have you got anything else you can quiz me on before we end the show?
Let's quickly on. Let's have a look at... Shirt sponsor. I'm going to just call out. We've had a look at a couple, but do you know Arsenal's?
JVC.
Yes.
It's got to be back then.
Yeah. Everton.
Come on, Dave. It'll be in your head somewhere.
It's in there. Definitely in there, Dave. Just set those search.
Get the filters going. There is the old school Everton sponsor.
Ooh, Notts Forest had a different one for home and away.
I'm not going to get it for Everton. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt
NEC.
My head. NEC.
NEC.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Oh, Auto Glass, or am I too early?
Too early. Commodore International. Man City.
Oh, my God. Oh, pictured Niall Quinn, brother.
Yes. And finally, you mentioned him earlier, Crystal Palace.
No, not got the foggiest.
You literally said it earlier.
What, Crystal Palace's sponsor?
Yeah, you found it funny, because it was like, oh, that's...
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to remember who it was.
A Dutch flower.
Tulip Computers.
Oh, nice.
Bloody hell.
Let's go out on a high, Dave.
Yeah, love that. Love that. It's been good learning about history, going back in time and seeing the origins of the Premier League and where it came from. I think there's much more we could dig into it, to be honest. We went on a lot of tangents.
Yeah.
I think people tuning in and seeing the 92-93 Premier League season and we're talking about Martin Jol is quite the tangent. So
yeah,
we're getting a track record of that. But thank you very much for listening. If you've got any recommendations, please do get in touch with us on Twitter or on Instagram. You can find us, just search for Wikipedia Wanderers. We're the only ones that come up with that because it's a very unique name. But thank you so much for listening. Josh and I will catch you next week. Cheers.